You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Pau Gasol officially retired, Tony. When do you think you'll hang it up?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I retired a year ago.
Oh.
I'm just sitting here, and you guys keep turning on the camera.
Yeah, amazing. That's what you're going to retire to your attic. That's a fascinating place to retire to.
Well, it's lovely up here. I've got windows on both sides.
Wow.
I enjoy myself here, but every day you keep turning on the camera.
Keep turning
and I'm
on.
Forced to work, which is okay. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Chargers beat the Raiders and Urban Meyer has an uncertain future, but we begin today with tonight's wild card game, the Yankees at Boston. The last winner-take-all game these two teams played in Fenway gave us Bucky Bleepin' Dent in 1978. Both the Red Sox and Yankees finished 92-70 this season. Wilbon, would you rather be the Red Sox playing at home or the Yankees starting Gerrit Cole?
Tony, I think the Yankees starting Gerrit Cole, and I know Cole hasn't been great in September. I mean, he's like 2-2 in the last four starts. He didn't have that much success against the Red Sox, but I still think I'd rather be the Yankees in Yankee Stadium with Cole. And I tell you what else, Tone.
It's not in Yankee Stadium.
I'm sorry, in Boston. In Fenway.
In Fenway.
No J.D. Martinez. No J.D.
Right.
Martinez is a big deal. We're talking about a guy who drove in 99 runs. The injury is such a freak injury. But, Tony, he's a major weapon in that Red Sox lineup. And not having him in there, and I realize there's still other bats, there are other weapons. But if we're talking about two dead even teams, a 10-9 regular season record, the same records for the season overall, you can't separate them. I can't separate them. So J.D. Martinez not being there may help separate him. Even by that much, it can make a difference.
Yeah.
And Cole doesn't have to worry about him in that lineup.
Right. So Gerrit Cole, in the games, the five starts he's made since returning from injury in early September,
Hammy,
has a 6.15 ERA. That stinks. He's 2-2 in the record over those five starts, but he's got a 6.15 ERA. And at one point, I think in the last three games, he allowed 15 runs in three games. That's terrible. But like you, I'm going to go with the Yankees, and here's why. It's hard for me to believe that the Yankees, who made Gerrit Cole the richest pitcher in the history of baseball, right? They gave him 9 years at $36 million a year. It's hard for me to believe he's going to spit the bit. I mean, I think you sign a guy for games just like this.
You do, but
for circumstances just like this.
Sometimes they lose games just like this.
Here's his postseason, Mike. His postseason career, he's 8-4. He's got a 2.68 ERA. He's got right-handed power behind him that can, on a check swing, hit the Green Monster. So I'm going to go with him. I think Eovaldi is a fine pitcher. I think the Red Sox have been opportunistic. Nobody thought they would actually be in the playoffs. But to me, here's their problem. Who's in their bullpen if they need a bullpen? They were down to the Nats. They had to win all three of those games. They burned two starters, I believe, in the Sunday game that they won coming back from 5-1 in the sixth. And Eovaldi, if I'm not mistaken, the last time he pitched against the Yankees, gave up seven runs. I think it sets up for the Yankees as you do.
We say that now, Tony, and yet there could be one inning early in this game that moves us off that mark. With these two?
Yes.
I mean, it's like dealing with, you know, Duke, North Carolina, or, I mean, whatever great rivalries you want to mention, and this is perhaps the greatest of them all, and just, what do they say? Throw all the records out, that cliche. You can throw them all out, because I believe
one
any result is possible.
I remember Bucky Bleep and Dent.
Hey, me too.
I also remember Aaron Bleep and Boone.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the dugout.
Yeah.
He's sitting in the dugout. So.
Yeah. They got some stuff on their side. Let's move to the Chargers, handing the Raiders their first loss last night. Justin Herbert threw three touchdown passes in the first half, while the Chargers defense held the Raiders to just 51 total yards in those same two quarters. Tone, was last night's result more about how good the Chargers are or how badly the Raiders started?
Well, John Gruden said it was about the start. He made the analogy to a fight, and he said you just cannot absorb that many punches in a first round. You can't do it. But I would point out that the Raiders all year have come from behind. In their three wins, right, they were down to Baltimore. They were down to Pittsburgh. They were down to Miami, and they came back and won. Not this time.
Not 21-0.
What we're looking at in this kid Herbert is somebody who's really good right now and on a trajectory to be great. You know, and Eckler, the running back, that's a good, a very good offense right now. I'll tell you something, Mike. They lost to Dallas. They got beat at the last second by a 56-yard field goal. And if I remember correctly, they got at least one and maybe two touchdowns called back. I'm going to go with the Chargers to the answer to this question. Yeah. I think it's how good they were.
I think it's the Chargers too, Tony. And I'd like to zero in on Justin Herbert. I mean, here's a guy that the Miami Dolphins could have drafted, and they passed him to go with Tua. That ain't looking real good right now. But Justin Herbert, Tony, and you know, everybody, it kills me when people, smart people who know a whole lot about football, when there's a draft and a player becomes great like Patrick Mahomes, and they say, well, oh, this guy's going to be the best guy out there for 15 years. Stop. Because other people come along too. And maybe Justin Herbert's one of them. Because he looks to be, I'm not saying that he has all the arm angles and maybe some of the subtle things that Mahomes does and does better. But Justin Herbert looks like he's on a trajectory, as you just said, to greatness. And Tony, if he is, he's in the same division. I mean, Kansas City's got to try to stop him, and we don't know if they can. This kid looks great as well. So I enjoyed watching him. Look, I mean, the Raiders, there's no reason for the Raiders to just sort of curl up in the fetal position and give up on the next few weeks. They got the Bears coming in. They ought to be able to trash them at home on Sunday. But I think this is about the Chargers. I do, too.
Yes, you know, Justin Herbert, I think we may look back in 2 or 3 years at Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, who went, Joe Burrow went number one in that draft. He's got Cincinnati 3-1, which is impossible. Justin Herbert is 7-1 in his last 8 starts. You know, they may be tremendous. I just want to point out Joey Bosa. Did you hear what he said?
Yes.
After the game, he said that the officials were blind.
Refs.
And he also said, he said of Derek Carr, if you put pressure on him, he curls up. They're in the same division. They play twice a year.
You know what, Tony,
how can you say that?
You know, for 50 years, all the football players said stuff like this. You think Butkus and Nitschke didn't say stuff like this? You know, we know Lawrence Taylor said stuff like this. Huh? Come on, son. Y'all got to do better than that, he once told the Washington football team lineman. Guys now just utter these ridiculous cliches, because that's what their coaches want them to do. And so when a guy like Bosa just sort of speaks
Joey
some
Bosa,
truth.
No cliches.
Great. No.
That is a
Joey
no
Bosa.
Cliche
that's
zone
right.
for Joey
Welcome
Bosa.
Release
we
there.
Move now to Urban Meyer and the fallout from that video at Meyer's restaurant over the weekend. Michael Silver, the NFL Network, reported that Jacksonville players were laughing after Meyer explained what happened. One player said, direct quote, he has zero credibility in the stadium. He had very little to begin with. It's bad. I don't know how he's going to function, unquote. Team owner Shad Khan issued a statement saying he addressed the matter with Meyer and that now Meyer, quote, must regain our trust and respect,
unquote.
Wilbon, what do you make of the way Khan backed Meyer?
Well, Tony, I don't know that he, well, okay, you're using backed. You know, I mean, regain. In other words, you've lost it, at least temporarily. Now, what are you going to do to get it back? That's the way I read that. And Tony, when we got off the air yesterday, I said, and I'll repeat, at first I thought, okay, this was a stupid lapse in judgment, but it probably wouldn't result in anything meaningful. I don't believe that now. Having listened to these reactions, some coming from the locker room, an owner saying you have to regain our confidence, and talking to some people myself who called me after hearing me say that, I'm talking about former players in a couple of cases, saying, hey, Don't sleep on this. This is a big deal. It's a big deal when a coach preaches to his players as a rookie head coach in the NFL about rebuilding or establishing culture. And then this is part of the culture that he establishes because he's not even on the plane with his team going home. That's the part I found unthinkable. And again, I've been told, hey, pay more attention to this. It's maybe more serious than you think.
So on my podcast this morning, I gave a spirited defense of Urban Meyer, a guy, as you know, I don't even like. And I said, look, I've been in this circumstance. I owned a restaurant. You go to your own restaurant, people come up to you all the time and they want pictures with you.
Yeah.
And of course you have to be accommodating and you don't know what's gonna happen when they get within a foot of you. They could put their arms around you, they could kiss you. You actually don't know, and it's a very awkward circumstances. And I defended that part of it. But what I also said was, what's he even doing at Columbus with an 0-4 team in Jacksonville? Why isn't he in Jacksonville working with his coaches to try and get this better? And with what Khan said, that's a hollow endorsement because he's saying you lost our trust. Mike, I could see that the guy has won no games as a pro coach, college coach, no games as a pro coach. Mike, I could see in a week, I could see in days, those two getting together and it's over. And then it's lawyers work out all details because it's over.
Tony, there's still details we don't know. And so what happens if we find out more about those particular details? What happens if things, you know, the optics here are not good.
Not good.
And I'm not trying to diminish whatever happened in the contact in the restaurant, but not returning with his team. I mean, I'm just thinking about the great coaches of our time.
You're 0-4.
They're on the plane.
You've never won
a pro game. Yeah.
Go home. Let's take a break. Coming up, which top seed should we have more confidence in, the Rays or the Giants?
And the Bills have been rolling since their week one loss, but if the Packers have been even better, toss up. Just relax. It's next.
You gonna be surprised if he's in college next year? If he's at USC? You gonna be surprised?
Well,
I'm not.
Ooh.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then quietly pumps his fist that we got an I-95 wild card game tonight. What's first?
Toss-up, which one seed do you have more confidence in, the Rays or the Giants?
I'm going to take the Rays. They were in the World Series last year, and they navigated their way through the toughest division in baseball, where four teams in the AL East won at least 91 games, and they won 100, and I want to get the numbers right. They were 51-25 in that division. Giants are the biggest surprise in baseball. Their manager, Gabe Kapler, will be unanimous manager of the year, and they won the most games in baseball. And I'm not discouraging or disparaging them in any way whatsoever. But if the Dodgers win the wild card, the five-game series is going to be Dodgers-Giants. I think that's a little bit more worrisome than what Tampa will have. So I'm going to say the Rays.
I'm going to say the Giants based on one thing, Tone. They beat back the Dodgers. They beat them back. They beat back the team that everybody thought was going to be a lock, I'm exaggerating a little bit, to repeat. They said to the Dodgers, pesky Dodgers. First of all, they crippled the Padres in a tag team with the Dodgers. Those three teams were supposed to be in it, and the Padres were beaten down and trashed and left on the side of the road. And then they just kept stiff-arming the Dodgers. Dodgers win seven straight. So what? Giants win eight straight. all year long. They took the World Series team and kept them at arm's length. I'm going to go with the team with the best record, the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. One game, short arm length, one game.
It's all right.
Let's go next.
Toss up, better team since their opening week loss, the Packers or the Bills?
Okay, they are both 3-0 since that period of time. The Packers were crushed by the Saints, who then fell down a hole. The Bills got beat by the Steelers, who are at the bottom of that hole that the Saints have just fallen through. Here are the numbers. They favor the Bills. The Bills in those three games have outscored opponents 118-21.
Ding, ding,
they
ding, ding, ding.
They shut out Houston and Miami. Yeah, they shut out Houston and Miami 75-0. The Packers have outscored opponents 92-62. Two of those opponents, the Lions and the Steelers, are bad teams. Look, you can argue successfully that the Packers had much more drama associated with their loss and their climb out. And Aaron Rodgers has been great. He's got 8 touchdowns and no interceptions in those games. But the numbers with Buffalo, I'm gonna say the Packers have been real good and the Bills have been better.
There's one number you mentioned that ends this argument. Maybe we should save a few seconds from other segment of the show. 118-21. Come on. That sounds like some game where, you know, in a rec league where a team sneaks a ringer or two in that's 15 years old when the limit is 13 and they crush you. 118-21?
A lot.
That's it. That's it. Count them out. Go to your neutral corner.
All right.
Segment's over.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Bubba Wallace gets his first Cup Series win.
And NBA GMs have picked their favorite for the upcoming season. Oh, I see who's in the picture.
Who do you think? So you think it's Lakers and Nets? You think those are the top two? I would say Nets.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. One of them ain't even going to get to the finals.
Lakers are old.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 49th birthday, Grant Hill. Hill was a great player for the Detroit Pistons, making the All-Star team 5 of his first 6 seasons, averaging 21 points and 8 rebounds a game before an ankle injury reduced him in the way that injuries reduced Derrick Rose. Hill's most famous play came at Duke. Hill was the player who threw the length of the court inbounds pass to Christian Laettner against Kentucky in the Eastern Regional Final 30 years ago. Now Hill takes over as head of USA Basketball for Jerry Colangelo. One of Hill's biggest tasks is to name a new Olympic coach to succeed Greg Popovich. I imagine he'd want somebody who has won an NBA title as a coach and has experience in the Olympic program. So 3 names jump out: Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Eric Spoelstra. Will Bond, do you have a recommendation?
Well, any of those 3 would be fabulous, Tony. Obviously, see, I'm closer to one of those 3, Doc Rivers, than the others. They'd be fine candidates. By the way, Grant Hill was the best possible candidate to take over that position, succeeding Jerry Colangelo. So wish Grant Hill all the best. Underrated player, Tony. And if he hadn't had that injury, would have been trajectory to all-time great.
Happy anniversary, Marcus Mariota. On this day 8 years ago, Mariota threw for 5 touchdowns and ran for 2 more as Oregon drilled Colorado and reached at least 50 points for a school record 5 straight games. Oregon was great then, and many felt they were great again this year after they beat Ohio State in Columbus and ascended to number 3 in the polls. But they lost to Stanford on Saturday and tumbled to number 8 in the AP poll, 9 in the coaches. Mariota went number 2 overall in the 2015 NFL draft, right behind Jameis Winston. Mariota became the starter at Tennessee, but was 29-32 there and was replaced by Ryan Tannehill just as the Titans were becoming a solid playoff team. Mariota now on injured reserve with the Raiders after hurting his quad in his lone snap against the Ravens in the opener, a 31-yard first down run just a minute into the game.
Such a terrific athlete Mariota is. We see him getting injured there, but he made that run, he made that play, and he's sort of a forgotten guy, Tony. I thought somebody looking for a starter would have made a much bigger bid, a greater effort to get Mariota in the most recent offseason, but it didn't happen. Maybe people look at him and see flaws and just say, we're not touching it.
Happy trails to Bubba Wallace's lack of wins in the Cup Series. Wallace won at Talladega yesterday in a rain-shortened race to become the second black driver to ever win a NASCAR Cup race. Quote, got some credibility to my name, Wallace said. It's just like, hell yeah, it was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, unquote. Wallace follows in the footsteps of Wendell Scott, who won an elite stock car race in 1963. Wallace was in the pits with his crew when NASCAR officials called the race and declared him the winner. He later broke down and said tearfully, quote, this is for all the kids out there that want to have an opportunity and whatever they want to achieve, unquote. Wallace drove the 23 car, a Toyota. The 23 is for Michael Jordan, who co-owns the racing team with driver Denny Hamlin. Jordan tweeted it was, quote, a huge milestone and an historic win.
Tony, as you know, I'm not a big race enthusiast. However, my friend, dear friend, Robbie Petty, another North Carolinian who is a black North Carolinian, who's an enormous racing head. He called me yesterday and said, you know what happened to Bubba Wallace today? And I got to admit, Tony, it was sort of a semi, at least, emotional moment to hear that Bubba Wallace, who was involved in all of this drama not so long ago, had gotten this victory and teared up himself. And I'm sure that the first North Carolinian we talked about, what a proud moment for him to be involved with this historic victory. Congratulations to everybody.
I will add another black North Carolinian, right? Who was the number one pick overall in the draft?
Brad Daugherty. Yes, Tony, yes.
He's a big racing guy.
Huge.
One omission. Yeah, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau will play a 12-hole match, the day after Thanksgiving in Las Vegas. It will be aired on TNT. Your thoughts, quick.
They like each other now. It has less drama. I would like it better if they were still at each other's throats. Then I would want to see it, maybe in person. But right now, too
hugging. Believe
huggy.
Me, too they chummy. Got time to start another fight.
Too
there
chummy.
Could be a weigh-in they could get in a fight. Big finish, here we go.
Let's do it.
Bears running back David Montgomery expected to miss 4 to 5 weeks with a knee sprain. Is that a big loss for your team?
Yes. The head coach, somebody might want to tell him it's a big loss. Not sure he knows, but it's a huge loss. The Niners say Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance to play Sunday against the Cardinals. Is that significant?
Yeah, he's 24-10 as a starter with that team. You'd rather have him than a rookie. Nobody expected this. I think he's fragile most of the time. DeAndre Ayton's extension has reportedly stalled due to the Suns' reluctance to offer him the max. Another one of your teams. Your thoughts?
I'm expecting him to have a great season. They don't want to lose him down the line to somebody because I hope he gets signed. I really do. A's general manager Billy Beane says he wouldn't even know if the Mets have reached out to him. You buying that?
No, he's got no phone. What are you talking about? He knows. He doesn't want to talk about it. Last one, NBA.com surveyed GMs anonymously. They voted the Nets as the heavy favorite to win the title. Do you agree?
Not if Kyrie, who wasn't in practice today, misses half the season. Then I won't agree.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts now. From the left side, Tony, here's SportsCenter.
Steve Bilski shout out.